You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill FWA podcast. Each week we get a member of the Football Writers Association on to look ahead to the weekend's action. And this week it's the Mirror's Andy Dunn. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thank you. Not bad at all.
Good man. International weekends, not always everybody's cup of tea, but we get to see the home nations in action once again. You looking forward to it?
I am looking forward to it, yes. And this international weekend is also, or this international break, also gets overshadowed a little bit, of course, by transfer deadline day. But now the deadline day is over and the ramifications have been digested. It'll be nice to get to see some actual football, actual competitive football, because that's where it is. You know, this is the start of the road to World Cup 2018. So all home nations fans should be quite excited about it.
Yep, should be. Hopefully a chance to put the Euros behind, yeah, if you're an England fan as well. Let's have we'll have a chat about each game going through. Then we'll start with the England game. They take on Slovakia on Sunday at 5 p.m. Slovakia 3-1 in the match betting. The draw 11-5. England are even money. Big Sam's taken over. He's announced his first squad. He's said that Wayne Rooney's going to stay as captain. He hasn't really invented the wheel in terms of his selection for the squad either, but he's maybe trying to change one or two things. The idea of getting Paddy McGuinness and Bradley Walsh in to have a quiz night and everything. Have you been around the squad? Have you seen any kind of differences there under Big Sam?
No, there isn't much difference. The big difference is Sam. And the big difference is a new manager who's come into this job. I mean, absolutely ecstatic to get the job. It is, by his own admission, his dream job. So in a way, he didn't really need comedians to lift the mood, because Sam had the biggest smile on his face without Paddy McGuinness or Bradley Walsh. So I think that might have lifted the players, if they needed lifting after Euro 2016. In a way, it's always a fresh start, the qualification campaign. But also in a way, it's a little bit... England are good at qualifying. Don't forget, they won all 10 games of qualifying for Euro 2016. So in a way, I think the general public will be not so much looking for any changes in the team or looking for any differences or looking for a lift. They'll just be waiting to see what Big Sam can do come Russia 2018, because it is a group that England should qualify from. So I think that in a way, Sam has got a difficult job to basically energise the public into getting involved with England and to actually seeing what changes he's going to make. I think everyone's just waiting for England to qualify and then see what happens in the finals.
Yeah, I suppose it's an interesting point that you make there. It's not just the squad that he kind of has to keep going and getting them playing the football he wants. He's got to get the fans back on side as well.
Yes, it is because basically the fans are now a little bit world weary of England breezing through qualifying and then struggling badly at tournaments. And they probably anticipate exactly the same cycle this time around. And I guess it's Sam's job to sort of find a way of playing that we can all think will actually transmit into tournaments and be productive in tournament football, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, the optimist in me kind of thinks that Big Sam might be the man. We've seen him get teams out of relegation battles, yeah, and when the pressure's really on, he tends to get the right result, which is something England don't do in tournaments traditionally.
He'll have a plan. That's the thing with Sam. Sam will have a plan which he will stick to. Roy Hodgson's surprising... I think the surprising element of Roy's failure was the fact that he went into a tournament seemingly with a plan and then changed it to plan B, to plan C, to plan D. And of course, ironically, the opponents for England on Sunday, Slovakia, were a team against whom Roy obviously famously or infamously rested six players. Well, when I say rested six players, made six changes from the previous starting lineup for a game that England went on to draw 0-0. Had they won that game, they might have had an easier passage, although obviously they ended up playing Iceland, so again, we can't, you know, that's a tough one to call, but going ahead, it seemed easier, and certainly winning the group would have been a confidence booster. Instead, of course, he made those changes against Slovakia, we know all about them, drew 0-0, and then drew Iceland, and were beaten in that game.
Yeah. What do you make of Wayne Rooney staying on as captain as well, by the way? Do you think it was the right decision?
I think probably is the right decision. I think, again, it seems a faintly sort of defeatist thing to say, but I'm not sure there were too many options beyond Wayne Rooney as the captain. I sometimes think that England are very England are quite unique in the Football Association likes to have a captain of England, a permanent captain of England. For a lot of reasons, if Sam was going to do captaincy game by game, that wouldn't have been a problem to me. I think he's probably thought that Rooney is the most experienced, and probably Rooney under Sam is still as guaranteed as anyone, whether you agree with this or not, but Rooney is still as guaranteed as anyone to be a starting a member of that starting lineup. So with his experience of being captain, and he's represented England well, then I guess it really was pretty inevitable, but probably, as I say, as much as the fact that Sam probably looked around and couldn't see anyone really as a standout candidate to displace Rooney as captain.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. There's just a lack of other leaders in the squad, really, that you say, well, he's captain material. There isn't really many people that start. I mean, the idea of trying to bring John Terry back into the squad kind of sums that up a little bit. Need a bit of leadership at the back. They haven't really got that. And Rooney is the senior statesman, really, in there, isn't he? So.
Yes, exactly. And players, ironically, about probably 2 years ago, you might have said that even someone like Joe Hart or Jack Wilshere would have been captaincy material, and Jack Wilshere not even in the squad. Joe Hart, of course, has been forced into a move to Torino. So, again, there's another couple of candidates probably gone by the wayside in that sense. So, Rooney, I think, probably inevitable in the end.
Yeah. So what about Sunday's game then? Let's actually talk about Sunday's match. England away at Slovakia. We've got the match betting, as I've mentioned. Slovakia 3-1, the draw 11-5. England even money. Some enhanced odds markets as well on there. Wayne Rooney to score and England to win. That was 3-1. That's now 4-1. Harry Kane to score, England to win 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0. That was 17-2. That's now 9-1. Personally, I'm not sure we're going to see an England 4-0 victory, but what do you make of it, Andy?
No, I think England will win. It's funny you should say the Harry Kane enhanced odds. Obviously, we don't know what lineup Sam's going to put out, but I would have thought that Jamie Vardy's got every chance of playing. I mean, Harry Kane's had a sluggish start to the season. He always has a sluggish start to the season with his club, but obviously comes good in the end. But considering his performances at the Euros, I think Harry Kane might struggle to get a start. I mean, people say, well, Sam would like a bigger striker, but he's got form for using quick strikers to get in behind people like Nicolas Anelka, El Hadji Diouf. And I suspect he might be looking at Jamie Vardy. He'll be buoyed by that goal, Jamie Vardy breaking his Leicester duck for the season at the weekend. And I think he will play a big part, whether it's starting or coming off the bench. I would be interested in Jamie Vardy's odds to score at any time in that game. I think he's just sharp enough now. I've had a couple of games. And he might well play. He might well start. But I think they'll have too much for Slovakia. We saw Slovakia in that game, that 0-0. England really, even with the changes, pretty much dominated the game without creating too many chances. I think they'll have too much. I think they'll be sharper. I quite like the way, again, another thing, I think Danny Drinkwater might get a run at some stage. Again, his combination with Vardy might be crucial. I just see too much quality all over the pitch. I think England will win. I wouldn't certainly went back into win 4-0, but I think they'll do what England have done, as I say, in qualifiers for quite some time, go away to a relatively difficult, I'm going to say relatively difficult, one of those ones you'd say is tricky, the trickiest trip in the group, and we'll squeeze a win by the odd goal.
Okay, 23-10, the price for Jamie Vardy to score any time.
Yes, I would certainly be extremely interested in that one.
Okay, and England to win?
2-1 or 1-0, I would think it's something, by the odd goal.
Okay, 5-1 and 17-2, respectively, those two. Prices there. Just one that's caught my eye in the list there. Mikel Antonio is going to have his England debut perhaps in this match as well. He's quite high up in the scorers market there. He's 3-1 to score any time. We saw him score at the weekend with a header.
Yes.
He's an interesting inclusion, isn't he, Mikel Antonio? Probably deserved, though.
Very, very interesting inclusion. We saw him score the weekend with a header. We saw him score the previous weekend with a header. And obviously, Sam Allardyce can vary the tactics a little bit. If, for example, England maybe are looking for a goal late on, he does provide an alternative threat as well as what the defensive work he can do. He does provide that threat. Both goals were very, very similar for West Ham this season, sort of far post, towering headers. So that is an option that Sam, maybe that sort of aerial ability is just, you know, part of his armoury that attracted him to Sam, of course, who knows him very well. Yeah, no, it is an interesting cruise, and it's nice to see a new face. You know, I think what whether you agree with Antonio being in the squad or not, I think the positive thing about it is that what you wouldn't want is just an entirely same as. You know, the squad from Euro 2016. Sam's changed things around a bit. He's left Ross Barkley out and Jack Wilshere. Again, whether you or not you agree with that, it at least shows that the new coach has come in and basically most of the players are starting with a clean slate, and some of them will have to prove themselves to him to get back in the squad. And some have got their way into the squad, like Mikel Antonio, through their club form.
Yeah. So that's the England game. Let's leave that there. Andy expects England to win by an odd goal. Let's move on to Scotland's match against Malta. Scotland are 2-5 in the betting here. The match betting looks like this: Malta 8-1. The draw is 100-30. Scotland are 2-5. 7:45 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Scotland were missing from the party when all the rest of the home nations, the home brigade, went to the Euros. Bit of a point to prove now for Scotland, Andy.
They have, but I've been quite enjoying Gordon Strachan's comments leading up to the start of this qualification campaign, where he seems very, very bullish. He seems to think they were a little unlucky not to qualify, and it was a very tight qualifying group that they were involved in. And he seems very upbeat about the squad and about the team and about the mood around the camp. I think, and clearly they couldn't really have asked for. Well, I suppose they could have had Malta at home, but Malta away, even so, still should be a comfortable start for them. You mentioned did you say 2-5 for Scotland? I think that would be something that you'd include in your accumulators. They're without Lee Griffiths, obviously Celtic's top scorer, which is a blow, but you know they've still got enough firepower to get past Malta. I just all the vibes I get about Strachan's regime up there. It's always good to see someone stay on when, even though you know you might think on the basis of it, he might have been struggling to keep his job. All the vibes I get out of that Scotland camp are good, and good about Strachan's regime. And obviously, I expect them to get off to a winning start in Malta.
Yeah, it's a while since these two sides have played each other, these two nations. But Scotland have won all four previous meetings between the two sides as well. So,
yeah.
Like you say, it's a match that they would quite happily have taken to get the campaign underway.
A big gap in the rankings. Scotland 51, Malta 176, and other rankings don't always tell the exact story. And you can argue all day about them, but that just about sums up the gap between the two sides. I mean, as it happens, I was just having a look through the fixtures the other day, and I think all the home nation sides and the Republic of Ireland are all higher ranked than their opponents this weekend.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Mm. Stephen Fletcher to score on Scotland to win. That's been enhanced, by the way. That was 5-4. That's now 6-4. And Chris Martin to score Scotland to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1. That was 9-2. That's now 5-1. Obviously, skinny enough in the match betting at 2-5. So is there another way in we could back Scotland here? Do you think they'll win by a few goals?
Well, I think, I like the Stephen Fletcher bet. I expect him to play and to score and to win. Yes, I mean, I wouldn't go overboard on them scoring a bagful, but certainly to win by two or three clear goals.
All right. Let's move on to one of the other games then. Let's go to the Czech Republic against Northern Ireland next. The Czech Republic are 4-5. The draw 23-10. Northern Ireland are 4-1. This game also on Sunday evening at 7:45. Fantastic for Northern Ireland to get to the Euros. They played well enough there. They got through to the knockout stages as well. Great atmosphere with the fans. Can they carry on that momentum and qualify for the World Cup now?
Again, I think it will give them some momentum. Again, impressed by what Michael O'Neill's done there. Again, you mentioned those odds, Northern 4-1. It is a tricky trip to the Czech Republic. But again, I'll just mention those world rankings. Northern Ireland actually ranked 6 places ahead of the Czech Republic. And the Czech Republic didn't have a good Euro 2016. Northern Ireland's was decent. And I was at the game in which they were eliminated, the game against Wales in Paris. And I actually, watching that game and reporting on that game, Northern Ireland were unlucky not to win that game. They were unlucky to be eliminated. They were marginally, I thought, the better team on the day against Wales. So I think they should remember that, and that should give them hope going forward. I think they've got a couple of injuries leading up to this game. I think Craig Cathcart, who's important in defence, is missing. Will Grigg won't be there, although he didn't play at Euro 2016 either, but he seems to have started well for his club this season. But I think you'll see a defensive attitude out there. We know they can defend. They showed that during Euro 2016. Czech Republic, not the force of old, but again, I just think Northern Ireland will be able to take that momentum. There will be a little bit of belief in after what they did in France. And I would look at them going there and trying to chisel out that draw, which they proved extremely good at in the last qualification campaign.
Okay, 23-10 then for the draw. It is a tough place to go, isn't it, to the Czech Republic? They'd be perfectly happy with the draw, wouldn't they?
They would be perfectly happy with the draw. Czech Republic, though, you know, as I say, not the force of old. So nothing really. It's not. It is a tricky trip, but not a daunting trip. That's how I describe it, and one they will certainly fancy getting at least a point out of.
All right. Serbia against the Republic of Ireland is on Monday. That's at 7:45 p.m. Serbia even money. The draw 21-10. The Republic of Ireland are 16-5. It's a real tough place to go and a real hostile atmosphere sometimes, Serbia. So can Republic of Ireland deal with that there?
Yes, again, what I said about Northern Ireland, I think would be, I could say, ditto. Republic of Ireland, Serbia is a tough place to go, is a hostile place to go, is tricky, but not as daunting as it used to be. And again, I think the Republic, they had a decent Euro 2016. Martin O'Neill again seems to be quite bullish ahead of this qualification campaign. They've got some good quality Premier League players in there. Let's not forget. I mean, Robbie Keane obviously has played his last game for the Republic, that game against the Man the other night when he bowed out. But they've got, you know, in a strike force, they can pair players from Jonathan Walters, Shane Long, Robbie Brady, obviously, who I had expected to move to the Premier League but didn't in the transfer window. They've got some firepower up front. They've got a solid midfield, although James McCarthy is out injured. Glenn Whelan, I think, will be in that centre midfield. But Jeff Hendrick, who's obviously just moved to Burnley in the Premier League. We're talking more Premier League players in the Republic of Ireland squad than a couple of the home nations. So I would expect them to be quite strong in this qualifying campaign. It will be tough. Again, I go back to the rankings. They are ranked ahead of Serbia. Serbia didn't qualify for Euro 2016. So, yes, it's tough. Yes, it's going to be hostile, but again, I think the Republic can get a draw out of that game.
The draw in that game is 23-10. Yeah, I mean, the Republic of Ireland, I thought tactically a lot of the times at the Euros were fantastic, the way they ground out the 1-0 win against Italy. Against France, they weren't completely overrun. They were, in parts of the game, the better side at times. And are you going to see them set up very organised again away at Serbia, do you think?
Very organised, you know, very physical, very very energetic. Basically, as I say, that's probably a reflection of the fact that they do have a core of Premier League players in there who are used to the high tempo game, or used to the high press, or used to closing down effectively. So we will see that. You know, you're not going to see I don't think particularly flowing football, but they have got danger. You know, they have got danger on the counter. So I expect them, maybe certainly in Serbia, that they will, the Serbian crowd will expect Serbia to have possession, and we can expect Ireland to look to hit them on the counter attack.
Let's finish off with Wales against Moldova. Then Wales 2-7 in the match betting. The draw 4-1. Moldova 11-1. Obviously superb for Wales at the Euros. They got to the semi-finals before being beaten by eventual winners of the competition, Portugal. They're playing at home here against Moldova. Their first game of a new campaign. They're going to come out to a hero's welcome. Wales going to win this and carry on the feel-good momentum that they've got going on.
Yes, absolutely. I don't see any hope for Moldova there. I think there is a feel-good momentum. I think there's a feel-good momentum that Chris Coleman remains as the Welsh manager. There had been talk of him maybe coming to the Premier League, or maybe maybe Premier League clubs being interested in him. Hull, of course, was the one that we thought might go for Chris Coleman. He's still with Wales. He's staying there for this qualification campaign. That will in itself be a boost to those players who did so well at France 2016. I guess the only danger is complacency, and they might think this is a formality and a bit of a celebration of what they did in the summer. They will all have had Chris Coleman spoke quite interestingly about a bit of a come down after the tournament. You know, there was 2 or 3 weeks after when you feel a bit deflated because the emotions have been so high. But, you know, they're up to an 11th in the world now. They should be going there now, or they should be starting this qualification campaign with the feeling, well, we're favourites to go through this group. And basically, you know, they've got players who are used to carrying those expectations. They'll be without Aaron Ramsey for this particular game, but that won't matter. You know, they've got big players, big leaders in that team. We talked about leaders before, but they've got leaders in the shape of Gareth Bale and Ashley Williams, to name but two. So they look and a good start for them, a good start. If there is any sort of hangover from the party of France 2016, then a home fixture against Moldova shouldn't be too much to make that headache even worse.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the point you were making about Chris Coleman there as well. Obviously, there was interest from Hull. He said he didn't feel that job was right. He's proud to be Wales manager. The idea that the Welsh people want him to stay on and he's proud to be the Wales manager is something that we don't experience too often in England. We always, after a tournament, call for the manager's head. So that must be, the stability there must be something to be reckoned with as well.
The stability is good. I think particularly, you know, from a Welsh point of view, when you're talking about Chris Coleman, you can't deny this. I don't think the whole job... There's a little bit, you know, he's been speaking this week or last about how being a Premier League manager is not the be-all and end-all. He says just because, you know, a Premier League job comes up, it doesn't mean he'll go running if that's available. Now, I understand that, and it's great loyalty to Wales. I do think probably Hull City would not have been the right job for him. But there's no doubt about it that the Premier League is extremely attractive to a manager. And let's be honest, not least of all, because financially it is extremely lucrative for managers. And Chris Coleman, you know, would be able to earn far more money in the Premier League should he get a Premier League job than the FA, the Football Association of Wales, could pay him. But it's great, I think, just for this, you know, and he's already said, I think, that this will be his last qualification and campaign, assuming they qualify. So, in other words, two more years. I think that gives Wales time to think how he's going to be succeeded. And I just think it would have been a shame, you know, for these players who are, you know, who are all of an age where they can kick on from that, from what happened in France 2016, and to be able to kick on with the manager who they clearly play for, they clearly respond to, they clearly like his company, they clearly like the way he's got this group together. I think for him to stay is the biggest boost Wales could have going into this campaign.
Yeah. Gareth Bale as well, we must mention him. He's obviously one of the best players in the world. You think of Wales, you think of Bale's goals. And Bale to score, Wales to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1. That was 100-30. That's been enhanced to 7-2. And Gareth Bale to score any time in the match is 8-11. He's a superstar, isn't he?
An absolute superstar. An absolute superstar committing or about to commit his long-term future to Real Madrid. But shows you how comfortable he is with that status of being a world superstar. You know, this is a guy who, playing alongside, playing in the same team as Cristiano Ronaldo, I think carries its certain pressures, and he's responded to that. He is, as it sounds a strange thing to say, but he's probably as crucial to the future of Real Madrid, one of the most famous clubs in the world, as Cristiano Ronaldo is, and that tells you all you need to know. And the way he conducted himself, both on and off the field at Euro 2016 as a leader, was exemplary. He was the one who would front up in front of the cameras most of the time. Again, on the pitch, he was the one, not just him, I mentioned Ashley Williams and Aaron Ramsey and other players were in the same boat, who led that team. He has a great passion for representing his country, and he'll have the record books in his sights. He'll be able to create a number of caps and goals and records for Wales that will never be broken. He may well be there now, but you know, he'll be there. He'll want to go down as well as all-time great player.
Yeah, his temperament's superb as well. Nothing seems to faze him. You mentioned the Ronaldo stuff. I mean, there's been times in the media where they've said there's clashes between Ronaldo and Bale, and nothing seems to bother him. Does he? He just carries on.
Nothing seems to bother him. He is, for want of a better word, he is grounded. You know, Gareth Bale is a grounded individual. You know, he's a world superstar. He is what we always used to call a Galactico. He is one of Real Madrid's crucial players. Yeah. Around the camp, when I visited the Welsh camp a couple of times during the summer, he was, you know, as laid back, as down to earth, as jokey, basically trying to keep all these. There's not one Welsh player looks at him and thinks, so that's Gareth Bale, you know, and is an inordinate teammate. It's Gareth Bale, the joker, Gareth Bale, just one of them. Gareth Bale, the lad who the Welsh lad who likes to play for Wales as much as the next Welsh lad.
What would you go with as a betting idea for that Wales game?
As a betting medium for the Welsh game, Moldova will not score, and Wales will score several goals. So I would be tempted to look at the odds for results. I'd be looking to back 4, 5, or 6. 4-0, 5-0, or 6-0, or all three. I'd certainly be looking to include Wales in the accumulator as well. But on an individual game, I'd be looking for Wales 4-0, 5-0, or 6-0.
All right, OK. Well, if you fancy Wales to do a bit of a number on Moldova, then Wales minus 2 on the handicap is 9-4. Wales minus 3 on the handicap is 6-1, if you
fancy. Minus 3, well, that's the bet. That would be the bet for me. Wales minus 3, 6-1.
All right, good stuff.
I just think the whole atmosphere will be great, and I just think they'll be out to basically thank the Welsh public.
Good. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Andy. Good luck with all of that, and enjoy this weekend's football.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.